Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Beit Gan Eden. Bless you all, and thank you for being with us. We're doing Parasha number 17. I like that number. And tomorrow we'll be doing the Rash. It's Yithro, or Jethro, as they have it in the English Bibles. And I've read through Tamar's message, and it'll be excellent. So thank you for being with us. If any of you picked up your newsletter right at the beginning when I first sent out the notification, it's been updated slightly on page 3 at the top, just to do with dates. Shabbos, Friday evening, it will be, the next one will be in February, and I've got the calendar updated. It's also on the top of that third page. Okay, bless you all, and I think we can sing. It is Shabbat, because it is Shabbat. Bless you.
It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat. It is Shabbat.
Thank the Lord, it is peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Here with the angels we sing. And as he reigns from above, may he reign in our hearts, our sovereign Lord and King.
Shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz. Adonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Adonai Kol Haaretz. Shiru Adonai Baruch Shemo. Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshuato. Shiru Adonai Shir Hadash.
To the Lord,
sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song.
Bless His name and proclaim from day to day His salvation.
Adonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Adonai Kol Haaretz. Shiru Adonai Shir Hadash. Oh, Shiru Adonai Kol Haaretz. Shiru Adonai Baruch Shemo, Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshuato. Shiru Adonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Adonai Baruch Shemo, Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshuato. Shiru Adonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Adonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Adonai Shir
I don't know. Thank you.
Haftah, Adonai Eloheha, the whole of ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך ואהבת את אדוני אלוהיך בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך your soul and with all of your mind, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your love your God, they are Haftah, they are Haftah, Adonai Eloheha, behold Haftah, ubechol nafshecha, ubechol me'udecha, they are Haftah, Adonai
one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a testimony on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let us declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vayed.
Hear, O Israel, Yehovah our Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levav hei uv'kol nafshecha uv'kol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yehovah, who Yeshua HaMashiach,
Yeshua the Messiah,
he is Lord. Amen. Bless you, everyone. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for Jacqueline and Jot for being here. Whoops. I sat down. The camera hasn't gone. Now it has. No, turn it that way a bit more, honey. Go to the left. Malachi, the other way. Thank you. That'll do. So I'd like to welcome all those that I know are watching online, especially our wonderful family who can't be with us in the room. So welcome to Raquel and Yarek, Shab, Hannah and Joshi, to Angel and Phil, Ellie Shaver and Ronnie, to Yoli, Andre, Shirley, Matthew and Leah. I know that you're watching online. I'm not too sure who else is. Probably the Robinson family, but I'll get to them later. Also to those watching on live stream, so we've got Kathy in California, Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad Tobago, Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, Victoria in Qatar, Kathleen in Kentucky, also to Michael, Melinda and Michael Jr. in Florida. In Australia we have Heather in Perth. Those watching in South Australia, Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan, Betty and Stephen in Adelaide. Blessings to you, Katrina in Port Pirie. To Lucia in Victoria, to Evan and Lucas in Victoria, to Lyndon, Leah and family in Bega, to Jan in Sydney, also to Kerry and David in Tamworth, Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino, to Ivory, Rachel, Malachi, Micah, Gabriel and Zambia in Bonalbo. And in Queensland, we've got Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia, Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hinani and Sandor in Fernvale, Cheryl and Colin from Maidenwell, to Vivian and Diane and Daniel in Scarborough. Blessings to you, Melody, at Sandgate. Also to Joe, Lonya, Yoli, Amina, Ella at Kalanga, to Carol and Nick in Brisbane, Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, to Usha, Isabel, Auntie and Jacob in Brisbane, Jeremy in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, Don in Canubia, Kelly and Bean Lee, Wendy and Peter and Logan, also to Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba, Casey in Upper Coomera, to Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella at Coomera, Naomi at Oxenford, Irene at Talibe, Melissa at Service Paradise, Jeff at Service Paradise, Mary Ann, Faye, Carol, Erica, Lisa, Joy and Raywan here on the Gold Coast. So welcome to you all. We hope you have an awesome Shabbat. And we will now bless the children. And I know the children are watching. I didn't say to Minister Sean, Vanessa and Reuben, Hannah and Evie, welcome to you as well. Sorry, Vanessa. I just got your text. So blessings to you all. And we're praying for you and your situation. So Yah is in control. So let us pray for the children because I know they're watching online. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our boys and we pray that you'll make them like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives, they'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. We pray, Abba, that all these children will become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers, May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the Kedavah HaShelekim. Blessed are you, Yar of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Right, Miss Bakami Mose. Honey, can you take that back a bit, please? No, can you take it back a bit? I'm not looking at any screen. I just want you to take it back a bit, please. There will not be a Mishpacha family dinner this week as we are in virtual lockdown with the virus, the Omicron wave at the moment. But that will... a family dinner this month at the at Shab's place, hosted by Rachel and Shab, because we are in self-imposed lockdown with the Omicron wave, but that will resume in February. Same applies to the men's dinner. We're not too sure when that will resume. I'm not too sure whether it'll resume by the 8th of February or not, but I'm sure Minister Malachi will let you know before that date. The ladies' morning tea won't be happening until once again the third Thursday in February because of the lockdown again. We have to make sure that people that are travelling on public transport can travel safely, so we won't start that until that can happen. Now, in the newsletter this week, we've only got a couple of items in here. The EU, European Union regulators, and the WHO, that is the World Health Organizations, have called for an end to COVID boosters, citing evidence that the strategy is failing. So I just hope the Queensland and the Australian governments get that memo so that they can stop the boosters as well. WHO has warned repeated boosters are not viable strategy against the new variants. And UK experts call for COVID to be treated as an endemic virus, similar to the flu. And if you've heard the local news from the Parliament in the UK, well, then all mandates are ceasing as of tomorrow, to my knowledge, including masks, vaccines, entry into places, everything. Everything is going back to what it was before COVID in the UK as of tomorrow. There's also been an extensive analysis trial data finds that the Pfizer COVID jab does more harm than good, that Malachi's put in that. Right. Got your message, Rona and Daryl. Thank you. So let us pray for our people in Israel. Let us believe too that as we pray that this all the mandates will cease here as well, because what they're doing is causing too much stress on too many people, and we are finding that the people in the hospitals at the moment are all double vaxxed, and shortly they'll be calling people that are not triple vaxxed unvaccinated. Abba Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yahweh of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or at Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon right through to this very day. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land. Abba, we cry out to you for your protection over all of your people as these conflicts continue. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people, and we know from your word in Yekezkel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live in complete security and safety. And Abba, we know that this also applies to the people that have been dispersed throughout the world, and we claim this word for them today as well. We pray for the healing power to be on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by the situations in which they're living. We especially think of the families and the children, the orphans in Myanmar, who are going through horrendous things at the moment. We pray, Abba, Father, that you will just heal any of them from post-traumatic stress disorder in any way. We also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish, and we know from your word in Yekezkel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making a 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we pray that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them. This is the only way that you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says that your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you'll be the Elohim and they will be your people. And we know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. We pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora, and we pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land. We break the power of Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives. We break the power of the evil one who continues to work at wiping Israel off the map and your people with it. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through this ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamayo, Salagaing District of Myanmar. Abba, we thank you that Pastor John and his wife and the family of all 16 orphans are safe. We thank you for their continued praise and worship of you on Shabbat. We pray for their continued protection and their health. And we pray, Abba, Father, that you will supply all their needs, especially with the extra families they have living with them that are escaping from the regime that is trying to wipe Christians off the map in that country at the moment. Abba, we pray that normalcy will return to their country very soon. We ask that you'll be with them to nurture and protect them, especially during this military lockdown. And we pray, Abba, Father, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. We ask this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. So today, as Malachi said, we are reading from Yitro or Jethro in Shemot, Exodus chapter 18, verse 1 to chapter 20, verse 23. The prophets or the Haftarah, which was read in the diaspora, we'll be reading from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, when they were in captivity in Babylon. We're reading from Yeshayahu or Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1, to chapter 7, verse 6, and Yeshayahu, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. And the Ketuvah HaShalakim, the writings of the apostles, we'll be reading today from Matityahu, Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 to 30, Matthew 15, 1 to 11, Matityahu, 19, 16 to 30, Romans 2, 17 to 29, Romans 13:8-10, Ephesians 6:1-3, Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 12 verses 18 to 29, Yaakov, James chapter 2 verse 8 to 13, Kepha Aleph or 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. So let us pray for Yehovah's word. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, aheh b'kah banu mikal ha'amin, v'natanenu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu, ha'or la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Now, has Malachi got a reading?
Parasha 17. Parasha 17, Yitro, Jethro, Shemot, Exodus 18:1-20:23. Now Yitro, the priest of Midian, Moshe's father-in-law, heard all about all that Elohim had done for Moshe and for Israel his people, how Yehovah had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moshe had sent away his wife, Zipporah, and her two sons, Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, had taken them back. The name of the one son was Gershom, a foreigner there, for Moshe had said, I have been a foreigner in a foreign land. The name of the other was Eliezer, my Elohim helps, because the Elohim of my father helped me by rescuing me from Pharaoh's sword. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, brought Moshe's sons and wife to him in the desert where he was encamped at the mountain of Elohim. He sent word to Moshe, I, your father-in-law, Yitro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. Moshe went out to meet his father-in-law, prostrated himself and kissed him. Then, after inquiring of each other's welfare, they entered the tent. Moshe told his father-in-law all that Yehovah had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardships they had suffered while traveling, and how Yehovah had rescued them. Yitro rejoiced over all the good that Yehovah had done for Israel by rescuing them from the Egyptians. Yitro said, Blessed be Yehovah, who has rescued you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh, who has rescued the people from the harsh hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Yehovah is greater than all other gods, because he rescued those who were treated so arrogantly. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to Elohim, and Haran came with all the leaders of Israel to share a meal before Elohim with Moshe's father-in-law. The following day, Moshe sat to settle disputes for the people, while the people stood around Moshe from morning till evening. When Moshe's father-in-law saw all that he was doing to the people, he said, What is this that you are doing to the people? Why do you sit there alone with all the people standing around you from morning till evening? Moshe answered his father-in-law, It's because the people come to me seeking Elohim's guidance. Whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me. I judge between one person and another, and I explain to them Elohim's laws and teachings. Moshe's father-in-law said to him, What are you doing isn't good. You will certainly wear yourself out, and not only yourself, but these people here with you as well. It's too much for you. You can't do it alone by yourself. So listen now to what I have to say. I will give you some advice, and Elohim will be with you. You should represent the people before Elohim, and you should bring their cases to Elohim. You should also teach them the laws and the teachings, and show them how to live their lives and what work they should do. but you should choose from among all the people competent men who are Elohim-fearing, honest, and incorruptible to their leaders. Be in charge of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Normally, they will settle the people's disputes. They should bring you the difficult cases, but ordinary matters they should decide themselves. In this way, they will make it easier for you and share the load with you. If you do this thing Elohim commands you, you will be able to endure. Also, all these people, each one, shall depart to his house in peace. Moshe paid attention to his father-in-law's counsel and did everything he said. Moshe chose competent men from all Israel and made them heads over the people, in charge of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. As a general rule, they settled the people's disputes, the difficult cases they brought to Moshe, but every simple matter they decided themselves. Then Moshe let his father-in-law leave, and he went off to his own country.
In the third month, after the people of Israel had left the land of Egypt, the same day they came to the Sinai Desert. After setting out from Rephidim and arriving at the Sinai Desert, they set up camp in the desert there in front of the mountain. Israel set up camp. Moshe went up to Elohim, and Yehovah called to him from the mountain. Here is what you are to say to the household of Yaakov, to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. And you will be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel. Moshe came, summoned the leaders of the people of Israel, and presented them with all these words, which Yehovah had ordered him to say. All the people answered as one, "Everything Yehovah has said, we will do." Moshe reported the words of the people to Yehovah. Yehovah said to Moshe, "See, I am coming to you in a thick cloud so that the people will be able to hear when I speak with you and also trust in you forever." Moshe had told Yehovah, what the people had said. So Yehovah said to Moshe, "Go to the people today and tomorrow, separate them for me by having them wash their clothing and prepare for the third day. For on the third day, Yehovah will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. You are to set limits for the people all around and say, 'Be careful not to go up on the mountain or even touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death. No hand is to touch him, for he must be stoned or shot by arrows. Either animal nor human neither animal nor human will be allowed to live. When the shofar sounds, they may go up on the mountain." Moshe went down from the mountain to the people and separated the people for Elohim, and they washed their clothing. He said to the people, "Prepare for the third day. Don't approach a woman." On the morning of the third day, there was thunder, lightning, and a thick cloud on the mountain. Then a shofar blast sounded so loudly that all the people in the camp trembled. Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet Elohim. They stood near the base of the mountain. Mount Sinai was enveloped in smoke because Yehovah descended onto it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moshe spoke, and Elohim answered him with a voice.
Yehovah came down onto Mount Sinai. to the top of the mountain. Then Yehovah called Moshe to the top of the mountain, and Moshe went up. Yehovah said to Moshe, go down and warn the people not to force their way through to Yehovah to seek him, to see him. If they do, many of them will perish. Even the Kohanim, who are allowed to approach Yehovah, must keep themselves holy, otherwise Yehovah may break out against them. Moshe said to Yehovah, the people can't come up to Mount Sinai, because you ordered us to set limits around the mountain and separate it. But Yehovah answered him, go down, go, get down, then come back up, you and Aaron with you. But don't let the Kohanim and the people force their way through to come up to Yehovah, or he will break out against them. So Moshe went down to the people and told them. Then Elohim said all these words, I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make yourself a graven image of any kind, of representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. I am Yehovah your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousands generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. You are not to use lightly the name of Yehovah your Elohim, because Yehovah will not leave unpunished someone who uses his name lightly. Remember the day Shabbat to set it apart for Elohim. You have 6 days to labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Shabbat for Yehovah your Elohim. On it you are not to do any kind of work, not you nor your son or your daughter, not your male or female slave, not your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates of your property. For in 6 days Yehovah made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. This is why Yehovah blessed the day, Shabbat, and separated it for himself. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long on the land which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false evidence against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All the people experienced the thunder, the lightning, the sound of the shofar, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled. Standing at a distance, they said to Moshe, you speak with us, and we will listen, but don't let Elohim speak to us, or we will die. Moshe answered the people, don't be afraid, because Elohim has come only to test you and make you fear him, so that you won't commit sins. So the people stood at a distance, but Moshe approached the thick darkness where Elohim was. Yehovah said to Moshe, here is what you are to say to the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen that I spoke with you from heaven. You are not to make with me gods of silver, nor are you to make gods of gold for yourselves. For me, you need make only a gold altar of earth. On it you will sacrifice your burnt offerings, peace offerings, sheep, goats, and cattle. In every place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. If you do make me an altar of stone, you are not to build it of cut stone, for if you use a tool on it, you profane it. Likewise, you are not to use steps to go up to my altar, so that you won't be indecently uncovered. Haftorah, Yitro, Yeshayahu, Isaiah 6:1-7 and 6:9-5-6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Yehovah sitting on a high lofty throne. The hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood over him. Each had 6 wings, 2 to cover his face, 2 to cover his feet, and 2 for flying. They were crying out to each other, more holy than the highest holiness is Yehovah Sevaot. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The doorposts shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe to me, I am doomed, because I am a man with unclean lips, living on the people with unclean lips. Have seen with my own eyes the King, Yehovah Sabaoth. One of the seraphims flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, Here, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is gone. Your sin is atoned for. Then I heard a voice of Yehovah saying, Whom should I send? Who will go for us? I answered, I'm here, send me. He said, Go and tell this people. Yes, you hear, but do not understand. You certainly see, but do not get the point. Make the heart of this people fat. Stop up their ears and shut their eyes. Otherwise, seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears, they understand with their hearts, they might repent and be healed. And I asked Yehovah, How long? He answered, Until cities become uninhabited ruins, houses without human presence, the land utterly washed, until Yehovah drives the people far away, and the land is one vast desolation. If even a tenth remain, it will again be devoured. But like a pistachio tree or an oak whose trunk remains alive after its leaves fall off, the holy seed will be its trunk. During the days of Achaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, King Yeshayahu, king of Yehuda, Retzin, the king of Aram, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, advanced on Jerusalem to attack it, but were unable to conquer it. It was told to the house of David that Aram and Ephraim had become allies. Achaz's heart began to tremble, as did the hearts of his people, like forest trees shaken by the wind. Then Yehovah said to Yeshayahu, Go out now to meet Achaz, you and your son Shaar Yisuv, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool, on the road to the launder's field, and say to him, Take care to stay calm and unafraid. Don't be demoralized by these two smoldering stumps of firewood, by the blazing anger of Retzim and Aram, or the son of Remaliah, or because Aram, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have been plotting against you, thinking, We will invade Yehuda, tear it apart, divide it among ourselves, and appoint the son of Tavel as king there.
Ketavah HaShelekim Yithro, Matthew 5:21-30. You have heard that it was said to the ancient ones, Do not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother without a cause will be liable to judgment. For whoever will say to his brother, Raka, will be in danger, the council, and whoever will say you fool will be in danger of Gehinnom. So if you are offering your gift at the temple altar and you remember there that your brother has something against you, leave your gift where it is by the altar and go, make peace with your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. If someone sues you, come to terms with him quickly while you are on the way to court, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officers of the court, and you may be thrown in jail. Yes, indeed, I tell you, you will certainly not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that our fathers were told, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that a man who even looks at a woman with the purpose of lusting after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye makes you sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Better that you should lose one part of you than have your whole body thrown into Gehinnom. And if your right hand makes you sin, cut it off and throw it away. Better that you should lose one part of you than have your whole body thrown into Gehinnom. Matthew 15, 1 to 11. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, drew near to Yeshua and said to him, why do your disciples transgress against the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands before they eat. Then Yeshua answered and said to them, why do you also transgress against the commandments of Elohim because of your traditions? For Elohim said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who reviles his father and his mother, let him be put to death. But you say, anyone who says to his father or to a mother, my offering is whatever, my offering is whatever you have gained by me, then he does not need to honor his father or his mother. And you nullify the word of Elohim because of your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Yeshayahu prophesy concerning you and say, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is very far from me, and they revere me in vain, whilst they teach the doctrines of the commandments of the sons of men. And he cried out to the crowds and said to them, listen and understand, it is not what enters the mouth that defiles a man, but that what proceeds from the mouth that defiles a man.
Matthew 19:16-30. A man approached Yeshua and said, Rabbi, what good things should I do in order to have eternal life? He said to him, why are you asking me about good? There is one who is good, but if you want to obtain eternal life, observe the mitzvot. The man asked him, which ones? And Yeshua said, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I have kept all of these. Where do I still fall short? Yeshua said to him, if you are serious about reaching the goal, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he was wealthy. Then Yeshua said to his Talmudim, yes, I tell you that it will be very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Furthermore, I tell you that it is easier for a rope to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of Elohim. When the Talmudim heard this, they were utterly amazed. Then who, they asked, can be saved? Yeshua looked at them and said, humanly, this is impossible, but with Elohim, everything is possible. Kephar replied, look, we have left everything and followed you, so what will we have? Yeshua said to them, surely, I say to you, you have come after me. In the new world, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you also will sit on 12 thrones and will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And every man who leaves a house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or towns for my name's sake, each will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many are first who will be last, and the last ones will be the first. Romans 2:17-29. But if you call yourself a Jew and rest on Torah and boast about Elohim and know his will and give your approval to what is right because you have been instructed from the Torah, and if you have persuaded yourself that you are a guide to the blind, a light to the darkness, an instructor for the spiritually unaware, and a teacher of children, since in the Torah you have the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Then, you who teach others, don't you teach yourself? Preaching, thou shalt not steal. Do you steal? Saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? Detesting idols. Do you commit adulterous acts? You who take such pride in Torah, do you, by disobeying the Torah, dishonor Elohim? As it says in the Tanakh, for it is because of you that Elohim's name is blasphemed by the Goyim. For circumcision is indeed of value if you do what Torah says. But if you have a transgressor of Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the Torah, won't his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Indeed, the man who is physically uncircumcised but obeys the Torah will stand as a judgment on you who have had a Brit Milah and have Torah written out but violate it. For the real Jew is not merely Jewish outwardly. True circumcision is not only external and physical. On the contrary, the real Jew is one inwardly, and true circumcision is of the heart, spiritual, not literal, so that his praise comes not from other people, but from Elohim. Romans 13:8-10. Don't owe anyone anything except to love one another. For whoever loves his fellow human being has fulfilled Torah. For the commandments, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet, and any others are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fullness of Torah.
I'm off now. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, what you should do in union with the Lord is to obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment that embodies a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Messianic Jews, Hebrews 12:18-29. For you have not approached the fire that burned and was tangible, neither to the darkness and dark fog and the tempest, neither to the sound of a shofar, and to a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be given to them. For they couldn't bear what was being commanded. If even a beast touches the mountain, it is to be stoned to death. And so terrifying was the sight that Moshe said, I am quaking with dread. On the contrary, you have come to Mount Zion, that is, the city of the living Elohim, heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festive assembly, to a community of the firstborn whose names have been recorded in heaven, to a judge who is Elohim of everyone, to spirits of righteous people who have been brought to the goal, to the mediator of a new covenant, Yeshua, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better things than that of Havel or Abel. See that you don't reject the one speaking, for if those did not escape who rejected him when he gave divine warning on earth, think how much less we will escape if we turn away from him when he warns from heaven. Even then, his voice shook the earth, but now he has made this promise. One more time I will shake not only the earth, but heaven too. And this phrase, one more time, makes clear that the things shaken are removed, since they are created things, so that the things not shaken may remain. Therefore, because we have received the kingdom that is not shaken, we shall receive grace by which we shall serve and please Elohim in reverence and in awe. For indeed our Elohim is a consuming fire. Yaakov, James 2:8-13. If you truly attain the goal of the kingdom of Torah, in conformity with the passage that says, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, your actions constitute sin, since you are convicted under the Torah as transgressors. For a person who keeps the whole Torah, yet stumbles at one point, has become guilty of breaking them all. For the one who says, don't commit adultery, also says, don't murder. Now if you don't commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the Torah. Keep speaking and acting like people who will be judged by a Torah which gives freedom. For judgment will be without mercy towards one who doesn't show mercy, but with mercy you have dominion over judgment. Kafer Aleph, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, the king's Kohanim, a holy nation, a people of for Elohim to possess. Why? In order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are Elohim's people. Before you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. I'll pray. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet v'chayim b'tikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha-Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu ha'ol la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, give the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. I think that would have to be one of my most favourite parasha readings. I love reading the 10 mitzvot, or the 10 words, and I love the way that the Ketuvah HaShelekim just matches them all together and lets us know exactly where each and every one of us stand. So today I'm going to speak on Yehovah's Torah. And I've titled it, The 10 Words of Yehovah's Torah. And I'm going to start by first of all reading the 10 mitzvot again, or the 10 words again. Because I have put in front of each one, which was not in our parasha reading, the actual number of the mitzvot in Hebrew. And it's a way of helping you learn Hebrew as well. There's quite a few scriptures, that have the Hebrew alphabet within them. Shemot, Exodus 2-17 is one of them, where it contains Yehovah's 10 words, or mitzvot, or commandments, whichever way you want to put it. Then in Psalm 119, you'll find every 8 verses, there is the Aleph Bet included to get to the 22. And also in Proverbs 31, about the perfect wife, it also has the 22 Aleph Bet within it. So when you read them in the Hebrew, it's really wonderful the way they're put in front of each verse. So we'll start with Shemot, Exodus chapter 20, verse 2-17. Aleph, I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. Bet, you are to have no other Elohim before me. You are not to make for yourself a carved image, or any kind of representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them, for I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me. Gimel, you are not to use lightly the name of Yehovah your Elohim, because Yehovah will not leave unpunished someone who uses his name lightly. Dalet, remember the day Shabbat, to set it apart for Elohim. You have 6 days to labor and to do all your work. But the seventh day is Shabbat for Yehovah your Elohim. On it you are not to do any kind of work, not you, your son, your daughter, nor your male or female slave, nor your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates of your property. For in 6 days Yehovah made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. This is why Yehovah blessed the day Shabbat and separated it for himself. Hey, honour your mother and father, so that you may live long in the land which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you. Vav, do not murder. Zayin, do not commit adultery. Chet, do not steal. Tet, do not give false evidence against your neighbour. And Yod, do not covet your neighbour's house. Do not covet your neighbour's wife, his male or female slave, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Did you notice the second mitzvot? This one is really important. In Shemot 20 and verse 6, it says, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my commandments. Thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my commandments. The sins are put onto the third and fourth generation, but if you obey his commandments, that goes down to the thousandth generation. So this is why it's so important to obey his mitzvot. This grace is for you, every one of you watching online, everyone that will watch this later on. If you observe Shabbat, if you follow his rules, if you observe these 10 mitzvot and follow the Torah, the first 5 books. Oh boy, what have I got to say? Oh. It's all coming out of my head. I'm going to think what I was saying because it was coming straight out of my head. Nothing's written down. So if you are faithful, Yah will bless you. And if you are observing his mitzvot and his Torah, the first 5 books, you will be blessed for 1,000 generations. I'll go more into that further into my message. So this grace is for you. You are not perfect, but Yehovah will perfect you as you follow his mitzvot or commandments. The Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament are divided into 3 sections. We have what is known as the scriptures, and there is the Torah, referred to as the law, but by Christians it's often referred to by the law by Christians, but it is to us, it is Yehovah's instructions to his children. And that's what's important. Torah means his instruction. Then we have the Nevi'im. The Nevi is a prophet. The Nevi'im is plural for prophets. The Ketuvim are the writings. So you've got the first 5 books of the Torah. The Nevi'im are all the prophets that speak. Then you've got the writings, which is Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, and I can go on to a few of the others. That, you know, they all belong to the writings, which are not by the prophets. The Torah is also known as the Pentateuch, which means 5 books. Professors love to take ordinary words and translate them into the Greek or the Latin. Hence, penta is 5 in Latin, and tuk is book in Latin. And these 5 in English or Hebrew is what Yehovah calls his Torah. So let's look at them. Genesis in English, to translate it into Hebrew, is Bereshit. Bereshit means be'inna, reshit, beginning. Exodus is Shemot. Shemot is the names. It's plural for names. Leviticus Vayikra. Bamidbar, Numbers. Or Numbers, Bamidbar. And Deuteronomy, Devarim. That's the Hebrew. And that takes the first few words of that book and calls it by the name of the book. And this is how we read it in the Hebrew. The Torah lays down how people should behave in society. It has survived thousands of years, so no other government has ever survived that long. But the Torah has survived that long, and it's still applicable to this very day. The rest of the scriptures mentions the Torah hundreds of times. And one of my favourites, which I memorised many decades ago, was from Yehoshua 1 and verse 8. I love Yehoshua. It's got some beautiful scriptures in it. And it says, yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. I learned that as a young child. That's something that once we start following Torah, we see differences happening in our lives. We see our lives changing for the better and seeing Yah do miraculous things that we've got no idea how they happen, but they just happen. And it just goes to prove that Yah's word is true. His promises are true, and you will succeed. We can say that without a doubt. We don't just have to obey the Torah, but we have to study it. And this is why the first book after the Torah, this is the first book given.
Okay. You'll reset the...
And this is why we read the whole Torah every year at our Shabbat services. Where if we go to a Beit Knesset, a synagogue, or a house of assembly, in the Jewish context, they will only read one third of the Torah each year, and takes them 3 years to get through it. But then they only read it in Hebrew, and they don't understand what they're reading anyway most of the time. In Yehoshua chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, therefore, be very firm about keeping and doing everything in the book of the Torah of Moshe, and not turning aside from it either to the right or to the left. I'm going to say that one again, because it's really, really important. Therefore, be very firm about keeping and doing everything written in the book of the Torah of Moshe, and not turning aside from it either to the right or to the left. We do not change it by one little jot or tittle, by one little yod, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We just do it according to what is necessary for each person, and everything is different for different people, which I'll go on about later. In 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 9, it says, they taught in Yehuda, having a scroll of the Torah of Yehovah with them. They circulated through all the cities of Yehuda, teaching among the people. And in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart on studying and practicing the Torah of Yehovah and teaching Israel the laws and the rulings. Ezra did not just seek the will of Yehovah, but rather he sought the Torah of Yehovah, and that's what he taught. This is what we endeavour to teach each Shabbat. In Tehillim or Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7, it says, the Torah of Yehovah is perfect, restoring the inner person. The instruction of Yehovah is sure, making wise the thoughtless. Aren't they precious scriptures? They are just so true. And further in Tehillim 94 and verse 12, it says, "How happy the man and woman and children whom you correct, Yah." Sorry, whom you correct. Yah, whom you teach from your Torah. I love it that we are commanded to teach Yehovah's Torah. I cannot say all are happy that they are corrected, but as some prefer to go along with their old rabbinic ways. But Yah's timing is perfect, and they will eventually come around to seeing his word is supreme and never mine or Minister Yitzhak. We both continually check what we have said lines up with scripture. It's really important that you don't take our word for it, that you check for yourself. And Tehillim 105 verses 6 to 10 says, "You descendants of Abraham, his servant, you offspring of Yaakov, his chosen ones, he is Yehovah our Elohim. His rulings are everywhere on earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Yitzhak and established as a Torah for Yaakov, for Israel, an everlasting covenant." The Torah, as I said, is Yehovah's instruction to his children, and it's also a covenant. The Hebrew word berit and are synonymous with this scripture. Berit and covenant mean the same thing. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 5, it says, "The land lies defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the teachings, changed the Torah, and broken the everlasting covenant." And Malachi 4:4, it says, "Remember the Torah of Moshe, not the Torah of Ezra, not the Torah of David, not the Torah of the rabbis, the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I enjoined on him at Horeb, laws and rulings for all Israel." Where do we find the book of Malachi? It's the very last book of the Hebrew Scriptures. So we're told from the book of Shemot, Exodus, the second book of the Scriptures, right through to the very last book, to observe Yehovah's Torah of Moshe. Not Yehovah's Torah of anyone else. Only Yehovah's Torah of Moshe. We are commanded to remember and obey. And remember, the Hebrews did. Scrolls could be declared unclean even if a single typo or rip in the material appeared. They had to be thrown away. Jewish sanitary and dietary instructions meant that the ghettos of Europe were largely untouched by the Black Plague, while 60% of Europe died during the outbreak of the disease. It's thought that it was spread by rats, but the Jewish population remained healthy. As a result, Christians at the time felt that it must be the Jews who'd actually caused the Black Plague. By 1351, 60 major and 150 smaller Jewish communities had been destroyed, and more than 350 separate massacres had occurred. Thousands of people were killed because they followed the Torah of Yehovah. We are blessed we are living now and not then. However, some have said that the Torah has become a form of idolatry. With the second mitzvah or commandment, restrictions on graven images to represent Yehovah, the Torah became a sort of a substitute. The Catholics take the Eucharist, which they believe to be the literal body of Yeshua HaMashiach, and place it reverently within a special container within the church. In the synagogues, the scrolls containing the scriptures are also held in special containers. And during the Shabbat service, after the Torah has been read, the Torah scrolls are then paraded right through the synagogue, and everyone reaches out with their prayer shawl to touch it. Once again, a form of idolatry. They can't touch it with their fingers or their hands, because then that would mark the parchment of the Torah scroll. But they do touch it with their prayer shawl, and that is idolatry. The Bible is a great book, but it is just a book. To treat it as a substitute for Yehovah is approaching idolatry. Unless we take the words within and translate them into ourselves, they are just ink on paper. I can remember the first time, 27 years ago, during my walk with Yah, that I had never put a mark on a Bible. I dare not put a mark on a Bible. I always referred to it as the Holy Scriptures. Then I became immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, and the words would jump out of the page at me, and Yah would tell me, underline it. And I'm thinking, no, I can't do that. Underline it. So I would underline it. Yah showed me that it was his word that I had to get into my heart and into my head, and not just see it as something, as a holy book, not to be touched. How would I be able to learn his words if I couldn't underline them and memorize them? The other problem with Hebrew Orthodox law, as it is known, is that it changes over time. While some scriptures allowed slavery, modern Israel does not. While the scriptures allowed polygamy, more than one wife, as in Abraham and Yitzhak and Jacob, the nation of Israel does not. In fact, a good portion of the study of the Jewish rabbi is in the study of a document called the Talmud, a collection of commentaries and court cases called the Mishnah and the Gemara. These are all added to the writings of the rabbis and sages over the ages. They are taken as Torah in the eyes of the Orthodox. In fact, at the time of Yeshua, one wishing to be called rabbi must have memorized the whole Torah, the first five books of Moshe. It was actually something even the young children were taught from a very young age, to memorize the Torah. Although some try to claim that Yeshua learned the Mishnah, I have to disagree, as the Mishnah did not come into being until the 3rd century of this current era. But unless you know the truth, people can tell you anything. So it's in this context that we see the following exchange in Luke 10, verses 25-37. An expert in the Torah stood up to try and trap Yeshua by asking him, Rabbi, what should I do to obtain eternal life? But Yeshua said to him, what is written in the Torah? How do you read it? He answered, you are to love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your understanding, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the right answer, Yeshua said. Do this, and you will have life. This Torah expert, rabbi, Torah teacher, was trying to trap Yeshua. But Yeshua could see right through his motives. So this Torah expert tries another method. Further on in Luke chapter 10, verses 29-30, he says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Yeshua, well, who is my neighbor? Taking up the question, Yeshua said, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him naked and beat him up, and then went off leaving him half dead. When I look at this verse, I see three things. One, there was a man going down from Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, a picture of paradise. Two, he's going to Jericho. Jericho depicts the world, full of sin. Three, he fell among thieves. He fell into sin, then suffered the consequences. In Luke chapter 10, verse 31, it says, by coincidence, a Kohen was going down, or a priest was going down on that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Why did he pass by? Did he pass by because he thought he was above the person that was laying on the road? Let us have a look. In Vayikra Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 10, it says, the Kohen is ranked highest among his brothers, the one on whose head the anointing oil is poured, and who is consecrated to put on the garments, is not to stop grooming his hair, tear his clothes, go in to where any dead body is, or make himself unclean. Even when his mother or father dies, he is not allowed to make himself unclean. He didn't know whether that man on the road, across the other side of the road, was dead or alive. So now we know why he didn't stop. He would have disobeyed his Torah and lost his anointing. Then we look at Luke 10:32. Likewise a Levi, another Kohanim, but wasn't of the direct descendant of Aaron, who reached the place and saw him also pass by on the other side. So why didn't he stop? Well, Vayikra 21 and verse 1 says, Yehovah said to Moshe, speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron and the Levi. Tell them, no Kohen is to make himself unclean for any of his people who dies. The Levi didn't know whether he was dead or alive on the other side of the road, so he passed by. As we know, Aaron was of the tribe of Levi, which meant the Levi were the Kohanim, and Yeshua was speaking of, so he couldn't stop. Going further into Luke 10 and verse 33, but a man from Shomron who was travelling came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. This man from Shomron was not even classed as a Hebrew. So let us look as why he was the one that was moved with compassion. In Malachim Beit, or 2 Kings, chapter 17, verses 24 to 27, it says, the king of Ashur brought people from Bavel, Kutah, Avar, Hamat, and Sepharvaim, and settled them in the cities of Shomron, in the place of the people of Israel. They took possession of Shomron and lived in its cities. When they first came to live there, they did not fear Yehovah. Therefore, Yehovah sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they said to the king of Ashur, the nations you carried away and settled in the cities of Shomron are not familiar with the rules for worshipping the Elohim of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and they are there killing them because they are not familiar with the rules for worshipping the Elohim of the land. In response, the king of Ashur gave this order, take back one of the Kohanim you brought from there, have him go there and live, and have him teach the rules for worshipping the Elohim of the land. The man of Shomron had been taught the Torah of Moshe by this Kohen who had been brought back to teach them about the Torah and of the land, and therefore they knew how to love his neighbor. So in Luke 10 and verse 34, he went up to him. He put oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he set him on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I see three pictures in this verse as well. I see that the man of Shomron doing as Yeshua would do in dressing his wounds. Then I see his own donkey once again carrying us in our times of need, and only Yeshua's footprints are visible in the sand. And then I see the Messianic congregation as being the inn or the people that will take him in, take care of him, regardless of those who are hurt, regardless of their circumstances. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 35, it says, the next day he took out 2 days' wages. He gives them to the innkeeper and says, look after him, and if you spend more than this, I'll pay you back when I return. When we look at this scripture, we can see that Yeshua will return to take care of us. It doesn't matter what our situation is at the moment. He is control and he will be there for you. Things might seem impossible, but Yeshua is coming back and he is going to take care of you. In Luke 10 verses 36 to 37, it says, of these three, which one seems to you have been the neighbour of the man who fell among the robbers? He answered, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Yeshua said, you go and do as he did. The story here shows that even though the Kohanim and the Levi did exactly as the Torah required of them, they violated the higher Torah of love your neighbor. The Torah is our schoolmaster. And this is why we come on Shabbat, which I prefer to call Shul. We come to a Beit Knesset, that is a house of assembly or a synagogue. Each means the same thing. But the ostensive purpose of coming is to learn the Torah. The Yiddish word for school is Shul, and as I was raised with that word, I've tended to stick with it. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means assembly. We do more than assemble. We meet and assemble. We praise Yah. We read his word. And we learn the Torah. The Apostle Shaul had a great deal to say about the Torah in his epistles. He had been raised as a Jew and had served as a member of the sect of the Pharisees or the Parashim before his conversion on the road to Damascus. In Acts 21 verse 39, Shaul says, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of an important city, and I ask your permission to let me speak to the people. And in 22 verse 3, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in the city and trained at the feet of Gamaliel, in every detail of the Torah of our forefathers. I was a zealot for Yehovah, as all of you are today. And in Philippians 3:5, Shaul says, Brit Milah on the eighth day, by birth belonging to the people of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew speaker with Hebrew-speaking parents, in regard to the Torah, a Parush. Paul was very proud, or Shaul, he was very proud of his credentials and well acquainted with the challenges of keeping the Torah of the Parashim. Did you hear what I said? I said he was keeping the Torah of the Parashim, not the Torah of Moshe. And after his encounter with Yeshua on the road to Damascus, he was forced to rethink his entire approach to the Torah. The problem of the Torah was intensified by the inclusion of Goyim, or Gentiles, into the Messianic community of the day. Were the Goyim, who were the most part unfamiliar with the various stipulations of Jewish Torah, required to keep the Torah in order to be saved? This is still a hotly debated question. The issue was debated in Yerushalayim, or the Council of Acts chapter 15, where the apostles decreed that the absolute adherence to the Torah was not required of Goyim converts. Let me assure you, the Torah does not give you salvation. Your salvation does not come from the Torah. Salvation only comes through accepting Yeshua HaMashiach as your Yeshua or Savior. Then you follow Him. We must learn the Torah and do what is applicable to each of us as an individual. A man's obedience to Torah is different to a woman's, as is a child to their parents. Kohanim in relation to their congregation, and I could go on with so many variants. A single woman to a married woman, a divorced woman to a widowed woman. It goes on, and same with the male, the men. It is dependent on your circumstances in life at a specific time. So therefore, Torah changes for you as your life changes. But it is what was required of Acts 15 and 28 to 29, which was important for the Goyim at this time. In Acts 15, 28 to 29, it says, "For it seemed good to the Ruach HaKodesh and to us not to lay any heavier burden on you than following the requirements to abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, to abstain from blood, to abstain from things strangled, and to abstain from fornication. If you keep yourselves from these, you will be doing the right thing. Shalom." Now this was decided because some Talmudim at the time were trying to make men have Brit Milah or circumcision when it was not required for salvation. They accepted Yeshua, they did not have to be circumcised. When they accepted Yeshua, they had to be immersed and then receive the Ruach HaKodesh. You will notice that they were not required to keep Shabbat. That's strange. Why weren't they supposed to keep Shabbat? Because they were already keeping it. Shabbat at that time was the only day of worship, as it is if you go to Israel today, the state of Israel today. The Shabbat, everything closes down. Doesn't matter whether you're an Arab, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew. You can't do anything on Shabbat because it's all closed down. So the same applied to the Goyim of the early believers. It wasn't until the 4th century, the Antiochus the 4th of this current era, that Sunday worship came into being. Shaul argued that the patriarch Abraham received Jehovah's promise and was justified by faith several centuries before the advent of the Torah. And many believers use this as a tool to say believers do not need the Torah. But we have to remember that Abraham was obedient to Yah, and even he and his sons had Brit Milah, or circumcision, before the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. There is a fundamental difference in Jewish or Hebrew and Christian thought on this matter to this day. Jews and some Christian sects, like us who believe they have the key to understanding Yehovah, is firstly to obey his mitzvot or his commandments. We have accepted Yeshua, and most have received the Ruach HaKodesh, so following his Torah is an extension of that and easy to do. It's not a burden. We are not under rabbinic law, as some of us have been accused of, even though we are under, at this time, under a socialist law at the moment by being citizens of our current state in Queensland. First we believe, then we do, and understanding follows. We are not saved because of what we do and the way that we act. Rather, we act the way we do because we are saved and want to follow in the ways of Yeshua. Do you want me to repeat that? We first we believe, then we do, and understanding follows. We are not saved because of what we do and the way that we act. Rather, the way we act and what we do is because we are saved and want to follow in the ways of Yeshua. Yehovah's word is in our hearts, is paramount. How can we ultimately keep the Torah in the light of Israel's long-standing failure to do so? If the Torah was a schoolmaster leading Yah's people by the hand to Yeshua HaMashiach, how has Yeshua made it possible to uphold the essence of the Torah? Well, if we go to Galatians 3:24, it says, accordingly, the Torah functioned as a custodian until the Messiah came, so that we might be declared righteous on the ground of trusting and being faithful. In our coming to Yeshua by faith and receiving that new birth experience, that is repentance, water immersion in Yeshua's name for the remission of sins, and receiving the Ruach HaKodesh accordingly, he transforms us into a new creation. In Acts chapter 2 verse 38, Kepha answered them and said, turn from sin, return to Yehovah, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua HaMashiach into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Look, what has come is fresh and new. And Galatians 6 and verse 15 says, for neither being circumcised nor uncircumcised matters. What matters is being a new creation. To me, this is just the beginning of our salvation. Let me conclude with this. Once we get into the Word and learn Yehovah's Word, it leads us to the 10 words or mitzvot that we read today. These 10 mitzvot summarize Israel's proper relationship to Yehovah and mankind and form the basis of Israel's covenant with Yehovah. These mitzvot serve to regulate and promote a spiritual and moral behavior to awaken the knowledge of sin and ultimately to act as a teacher, pointing to the need for a Savior, and once finding him, follow him according to his way of worship of the Father. Without the Torah, there is no benchmark for sin. Yeshua HaMashiach came not to abolish the Torah, but to fulfill it. He is our example. In Matityahu chapter 5 verses 17 to 20, it says, Yeshua says, don't think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come to not to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth are passed away, not so much as a yud or a stroke, that is the yod of the Hebrew alphabet, will pass from my Torah. Not until everything that must happen has happened. So whoever disobeys the least of these mitzvot and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys them and so teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness is far greater than that of the Torah teachers and the Perushim, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Torah is inscribed upon our minds and our hearts, so that we can love Yehovah and others, especially our neighbors as ourselves. We can only do this by knowing his Torah, by observing his Torah, and by worshipping him daily in our prayer life, and being kind to others, serving others, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you. No one, anyone ask questions? We've got a question.
It was just interesting when you were talking about the what the apostles taught about not, you know, idolatry and the blood and stuff. Directly after that passage, it says, "For everything else thou learn in the synagogue on the Sabbath."
Sorry.
Right after that passage, it says, "For everything else they'll learn in the synagogue on the Sabbath."
That's right.
So it actually confirms what you said about the fact that they're already keeping Sabbath.
They're already keeping Sabbath.
And
that
sends you there. Why? Because you learn Moshe in the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's what you're supposed to do. So.
That's right. This is one of the
If I may, one other thing. Yeshua made mention that he was sent to the lost sheep of the tribes of Israel.
Yes.
So the ones that he was sending the disciples out to, they were already Israelites, but they weren't. They were following the gods of the land, which they were warned not to do.
That's why he sent them out, because they were following other gods, and they were adulterous for that matter. Yep. Okay, let us move on to the remembrance service. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made by their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Sabaoth is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Elohim Melech HaOlam, Hamotzelakem in Haaretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Sabaoth, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Mini Besameim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
Okay, so if you'd all like to come and take a cup and take a piece of challah.
Thank you.
From this day we can come and worship you. On this day we can read your Torah. And Abba, we just thank you and praise you that Yeshua came to complete Torah. He came to fulfill it and not to take it away. Abba, we thank you that he also laid down his life for us. That he had his body broken and his blood shed so that we could have eternal life. And by doing that, he sent the Ruach HaKodesh that indwells with us, tabernacles with us, and lives within us daily. Abba, we just give you the glory that we can come to you each Shabbat, take these emblems in remembrance of what he's done, and learn your Torah. We just praise you and worship you from the bottom of our hearts. And we take these emblems in remembrance of everything he has done for us. Let us eat and drink together. Amen. Blessing in Hebrews, and I will repeat it in English.
Yevarechecha, Yehovah Yishmerecha. Ye'er Yehovah panavalecha v'yichunecha. Yisah Yehovah panavalecha v'yasamlecha shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we have enjoyed on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. Now, to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, to Yehovah alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Adonai, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, that was a very special drasha that you gave then, Tamar. Excellent. And that captures very much about, well, what we're doing and what we're all about. So that's wonderful. You haven't got high heels on,
no,
have you?
No, I'm flat-footed today. I've actually got no shoes on. I'm at home with no shoes on. Pretty normal for me.
Well, that's true. So it was wonderful, and it was good to see so many people online and watching with us. Just a reminder too, with regard to that donate button that is available on the live stream website, that comes in as US dollars and then it gets multiplied out of when it actually hits the account. So it's better to use go on to our website and just use the PayPal or a direct transfer, that sort of thing. That just helps us keep going while we're doing this. It's It's certainly, in one sense, it's a blessing because we don't have to set the room up every Shabbat, and it's, we can leave the setup here as it is, and so it all works out quite well. So we're pleased with that. One of the things that, and this is more sort of to do with the vaccines and that, but I checked the numbers on the Queensland website, the one where they say they've got 92% and 82%, but if you scroll down that particular website and have a look, it says that the total number of doses that have been issued in Queensland is 3 million, just under 3.5 million, 3,440,000 seems to go up steadily, but there's no way that you can
get two or three vacuums.
Extra doses. Now we're up to three. So they're counting doses, and some people have had three, and some have only had one, and no way they're going to go in it.
Most have had two.
I see that coming in from overseas media that there have been four athletes at the Australian Open that have been unable to play with chest pains and
breathing difficulties.
Probably the myocarditis and the pericarditis that's a direct product of the vaccines. And I saw one chap saying that, not verified, but that in the hospitals, unvaccinated people go in and they move through to the ventilator treatment program, or lack of treatment program. But the vaccinated apparently are getting receiving ivermectin. So that's a sneaky way of sort of saying all the increasing the death rate for the unvaccinated and saying the vaccinated are doing very well. But it is so much of a sham, and I'm delighted to hear that country after country is abandoning these procedures. And we trust that will happen here in Australia. It's really good that the borders are open into Queensland now. And I've yet to test that international card of which says that you're part of the
control group,
and that you must not be vaccinated, and you're verified as a member of the of that particular trial or control group. And that's one of the conditions that allows people, if you find the website to the vaccinate conditions on the Queensland government, that's an exception. If you're part of a trial, then it's okay. You don't need to.
You are exempt.
Yeah, you're exempt, so therefore you don't have to stay out. So I was intending to do it this week, and I, because it was going to have to be a Thursday night, but by the time I'd thought of it, it was too late. So we'll have a go for next week before we actually meet up at the four men's group next. I think we're on the second Tuesday in February. Okay, well, bless you all.
Shavua Tov.
Thank you for being with us.
Bless you all. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Shabbat. Shavuot Tov.